everyone, this is Bryant here, coming back with another Song Dissect. In this series, we look at the songs that we sing on Sunday morning, and I'm going to explain the theology behind it, why we choose to sing these songs, and sometimes I'll talk about the methodology that goes behind our selection of songs for Sunday morning. But ultimately, there is a rising voice within the church where people are trying to discount and discredit modern worship, calling it touchy-feely or whatever kind of other criticisms they may have. But I strongly believe that the songs we sing contain deep, important truth. And so I want to explain that to all of us. You know, sometimes I'll use hymns to prove that there's a precedence for using poetic language or whatever else might be. Repeating phrases is another one that people seem to have a problem with. But for the most part, I'm going to refer to scripture and systematic theology and explaining why we sing what we sing, how it rallies us around theological truths that we stand behind as a church. Now, this song I'm talking about today is called Same God by Elevation Worship. And this song is really calling back to the immutability of God. And I'll be explaining what that means a little later. But let's go ahead and jump in. Verse 1, it starts with, I'm calling on the God of Jacob. This God of Jacob concept, this is used a lot in scripture to help explain the specific God that we are worshiping or praying to or talking about or learning from or seeking. It's not just any God, which, you know, at a different point in human history, there was different pagan religions that believed in many different gods. And to this day, there's even some, maybe not in our part of the world, even though they're here, especially like look at India. You know, it's very easy for a Hindu person to believe in Jesus as God, but that's because they believe in millions of gods. So the hard part for them is just delineating that there's only one God, and which is, again, why Christians in the early centuries were seen as atheists. Christians were the first atheists because we didn't believe that there was a bunch of gods everywhere. We didn't believe that a bunch of different gods existed. We believed in one God, one true God, and that is the God of Jacob. If you want to learn more about Jacob and who he was, I'm not going to get too far into the details because this song references back to a lot of Old Testament characters. So most of us will be familiar with them, but if you're not, I'd encourage a Bible in a year plan. It would be great to read about these guys or even just looking up some Bible Project videos if you don't know who Jacob was. I will just say that Jacob was the son of Isaac, who's the son of Abraham. So Abraham was the first person that God chose to lead his chosen people. Isaac was Abraham's miracle son, and Isaac was the one that Abraham was ready to sacrifice, to take up on the mountain to sacrifice. But then he was stopped by an angel, if we remember that story. And then Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And that's a very complicated family story there, where Esau was the firstborn who would receive the promise. Isaac had children with multiple women. And ultimately, Jacob took the promised blessing from Esau. And so the lineage of Jesus came down from Jacob rather than Esau. So these are all pretty important background understanding stories when it comes to understanding the Old Testament. But ultimately, what this line is really talking about, I'm calling on the God of Jacob, is that it's the same God from the beginning, from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The same God that we worship is the same God that they worship. We're united in that way. The next line is, whose love endures through generations, I know that you will keep your covenant. You know, this is the whole point of this song. Covenants are hugely important to the relationship between God and man. Not every covenant that ever existed is between God and man, but when we talk about the covenants of Scripture, we are referring to these times when God, and this is how it usually went, mankind would sin, whether it's, you know, they'd worship false gods or they would just allow other cultures surrounding godless cultures to influence them. They would end up in captivity to some enemy nation. Then God would redeem them. He would free them and they'd be so thankful. He would do it in order to lift them up and his desire would be that they would once again be his people who worship him and him alone. And so there a covenant would be made. You can think of a covenant as like a deal or a verbal contract, but it was deeper than that. In those days, to break a covenant would be death. Like if you did have a covenant with another person or another family and you broke that covenant, you were as good as dead to them. It was a great wrong. And that sort of situation doesn't really exist in our culture. So you have to explain it and really to understand it, but a covenant was a big deal. So to think of a covenant between man and God, that's even bigger. You know, we know that God will keep his covenant, but guess what happened time and time again throughout the Old Testament as we see these moments, these covenants with God. You know, there's the covenant of Abraham. There's the covenant with Moses, you know, where we got the law and the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. Those are some very big and memorable covenants there. What would happen is the first generation that made the covenant with God, sometimes they would slip up really fast, but sometimes they would, you know, hold on for a little bit, but they'd eventually kind of slip away from that covenant. And then usually the next generation would go even further. One of the biggest stumbling blocks for the people of Israel was idolatry. So many times they would start worshiping false gods and other idols, and even like sometimes immediately. Like, for example, when Moses went up to Mount Sinai and he was literally face to face with God to the point that his face was shining and he was, you know, receiving the Pentateuch and the law, like I had just mentioned. He came back down off the mountain with the original Ten Commandments on tablets, and Israel was already worshiping a golden calf that they had made. They melted down all the gold they had and made a calf out of it, and were worshiping that thing. Now, obviously, this is a huge spit in the face to God, an egregious sin. So it didn't take long, and idol worship was a huge marker for the people of Israel in those times, because part of the covenants were always to worship God and put no other gods or idols above Yahweh, the God of Jacob. Well, God always held up his end of the covenants, that is to protect mankind, that is to lead them to be their source, their provider, their savior. God always upheld those ends of the covenants, his end, but mankind always failed. Every single covenant, mankind failed on their end of the deal. Until we get to the new covenant, when it's not up to mankind to hold up our end of the deal. What happened, and that's a huge reason why it's important that Jesus was fully man and fully God, because ultimately, he's the only one that could live that perfect life on behalf of mankind. By being a man, he was able to fulfill man's end of all the previous covenants to a way that no man ever had before, and then be the perfect sacrifice for atonement on the cross, because he was God, God and man. So he held up his end of the covenants and our end. That's how faithful he is. We know that you will keep your covenant, Lord, because he always has, he always will. And that's the new covenant in Jesus Christ, is that we just yield to his power. We're not righteous on our own, but we get to participate in his righteousness. And that's important to understand. The next line of the song, I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. So we're reminded of Moses. There's a covenant connected there. Once again, reminder of a covenant, but also the faithfulness of God and how he opened up the ocean. He freed Egypt from, he freed the people of God from Egypt by opening up the ocean. And then he gave them another covenant as a way to be in right relationship with him. The last line of the verse is, I need you now to do the same thing for me. For me. Then we go to the chorus, and this is where it's personalized. Like, we set up in the verses the concepts of covenant, the concepts of a consistent God, the concepts of us worshiping the same God, and then the chorus makes it personal. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages. I think of rock of ages. He is the rock, and he always has been, of all the ages. O rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. So we need to rely on God's faithfulness, because we are unfaithful. But thank you that faithfulness is one of his attributes. one of the things God has always promised, so long as you put your trust in Him and yield to Christ as your Savior, you will be saved. You will prevail. Now look at the verses again. It calls back to some more Bible characters. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. And now we know Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a humble young girl who listened to God when He said He was going to do the most impossible thing you could imagine, and that is conceive a child in her that is the Son of God. And she was willing. That's the great thing about Mary. She said, yes, God, okay. She didn't, even though she didn't understand, perhaps, she still said yes to God. And she was lowly. She was a young girl, probably the lowest caste of society you could think of in those days. Women didn't have guaranteed equal rights like we have today in America. And she was young, still a part of her father's household. So God's favor rests upon the lowly. And it's that same God, the same God of Jacob, the same God of Mary. Then it goes back again to David, the story of King David and his childhood. It says, I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giants. But that's leading into the chorus again, where it gets personal once again. So both of those stories, they're pretty well known and self-explanatory. If you're not familiar with Mary or with David, open up the Bible, look up The Bible Project. I really trust their videos, and what they teach is helpful. Just an overview, the story of David. We can remember how an unassuming young man was used by God to conquer the Philistines by killing the giant Goliath. And both of these examples of Mary and David, we see young people who within themselves are nothing special, nothing sacred. They're just normal people. What made them stand out is their ultimate obedience to God and how they trusted in Him through everything. Mary trusted God when the angel came and delivered the message. David trusted God that God would have the victory over the Philistines on behalf of the people of Israel. So that's what makes them stand out, is their trust in God that led to great obedience. I mean, they had to ultimately trust God for everything. And that's why we lean on His faithfulness. Remember back to the chorus of the song, I'm standing on your faithfulness. God, I need you. I'm standing on your faithfulness. That's when it becomes real. That's when your trust in God becomes real. When trust in God leads to obedience, and God's faithfulness makes us faithful. So in that way, we can see these people as models to challenge us in how we follow Christ and follow and trust God through impossible situations. We're almost done now. Just looking at the bridge, you heard your children then, you hear your children now. You are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God. You were providing then, you are providing now. You are the same God. You moved in power then, God, move in power now. So that turns it into a plea. You are the same God. You were a healer then, you are a healer now. You were a savior then, you are a savior now. You are the same God. One of the theological truths that you must believe, if you believe that God exists, is that He is unchanging. The word there is immutable. This word doesn't just reflect that He will not change, really, but it's that He cannot change. And there's a reason for why we believe God cannot change. And it has to do with another one of God's attributes, that is His perfection. So due to the fact that God has to be perfect, in order to logically exist, our God has to be perfect. And if our God is perfect, He cannot change. Or else that would mean there was imperfection in Him and He's changing to perfection. On the other hand, it would mean that He is moving from perfection to something else. That's why there cannot be any change in God. He is ultimately consistent and immutable. So if He changed, He would no longer perfectly embody any other one of His attributes, which leads to this chain reaction. So ultimately, we need to remember this, and this is something that's deeply true in my heart, is that God's existence is logical. And in order for God to exist logically, He must be unchanging. If He changed at all, He'd be changing away from perfection. So where we find the hope in this reality is that God has shown himself in certain lights throughout the history of mankind. He has related to us in certain ways. So we know that he is consistent, he is perfect, and he is unchanging. We know that he will consistently be the way that he is in the future as well. So think of some examples from the songs. He hears us, he answers prayers, he is provider, he is powerful, and his power is active. He is the healer, he is our savior, he frees captives, he frees hearts from bondage, his touch is healing. We sing this song because it reminds us of all of those things. And he has done all those things, he does do all those things, he will do all those things. And that's why one of the reasons we put him on the throne of our hearts, we lift up his name, we honor, we worship him because of these great things that he is and that he does. There's a bridge part two here. You freed the captives then, you're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God. You touched the lepers then, I feel your touch right now. You are the same God. You know, the scriptures are full of places where we not only learn about God's immutability, but how we need God's immutability. How we can know he will always keep his promise for that reason, and why we find hope and comfort in him through our biggest trials. We can rely on him, we can rely on him as our always present, always consistent Father. Look at Hebrews 13:5 through 8. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the main verse there. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So looking at this song, this list here, all of these things are in line with God's character. And in his perfect nature, he cannot trespass on his own character. Here's another verse here. Numbers, this is Old Testament, Numbers 23:19. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind? Has he said, and he will not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not fulfill it? James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Finally, I'll read one more verse here, Malachi 3:6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. I love how every time God's unchanging nature is explained, there's a hopeful side to it. There's a therefore that says, you are not consumed. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. There's nothing he said that he will not do. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. There's one last tag of this song. I'm calling on the Holy Spirit, Almighty River, come and fill me again. When you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit as the mark of your salvation. His presence is there always. But there's a special infilling, this what we call baptism in the Spirit, where we are empowered for our calling because he is the same God. We can trust that. He will always consistently fill us with his presence. Every time we can keep asking for it, and we can know he's the same God, he's consistent. He'll fill us with his presence. And so that's the special time of worship when we come together for the moment of worship. God's presence is always there. It's always there. We are the limiting factor. And that's why Sunday mornings are so special. That's why corporate gatherings with your church family are important and should never be forsaken. Oh man, no matter how popular it is to do that nowadays, it makes me sick. But being a part of the church is a vital part of the walk of a Jesus follower, because that's where the presence of God is more than just theoretical. That's where we are equipped and trained and encouraged, and we all come together to seek the Spirit and to seek the presence of Christ and where our eyes are turned onto His presence. We've removed all of the distractions of day-to-day life, the things that prevent us from feeling His presence at all times, even though it's always there in the same measure, in the same regard, it's always there. We are the limiting factor. And so Sunday mornings and that worship time are important because we're turning our eyes to Him, our hearts and our attention, and we're asking for Him to be there. We're reminded of His presence. And He's the same God. He's the same God. He's always there. I hope you were encouraged by this. I hope to see you on Sunday morning as we gather together as the body of believers and worship the Lord, and we gather around these truths and we put Him on the throne of our hearts. Thanks for listening.